This is a 980 CKNW podcast.
Welcome to the Sunday Night Health Show podcast. Tonight, we are talking about the impact COVID-19 has had on family planning with fertility specialist Dr. Neve Callan. The effect this pandemic has had on anxiety and other mental health issues is incredible. We talk with Angela Hurd, who is a clinical counselor. And finally, Dr. Gurdeep Parhar joins once again and answers your medical questions from long-term care facilities to slipstream, preventive health, and more. And then I talk to you about things you can do to improve your sex life at midlife. And now for the podcast. Many people have had to put a halt on their plans to start a family. What's it like living with fertility issues in a pandemic? Well, joining me on the line is fertility specialist and co-director at Olive Fertility Center, Dr. Neve Callan. Hello, Dr. Callan.
Hello, good evening.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. We have just about a minute, and then I'm going to ask you to stay through the news, and we'll talk a little bit further about it. So it's my understanding that the fertility clinics have all but shut down, leaving many people heartbroken and wondering what they're going to do as it relates to starting their families.
That's right. I mean, we had to be very conscious and socially aware and do our part to really uphold the health and safety of all Canadians here, which is how we ended up slowing down services. And I should highlight that we were still very much providing urgent care to patients. So we were still able to support patients who had cancer and needed to freeze eggs and sperm over this time. And it just, again, it just takes a pandemic to highlight the importance of what we do. And, you know, again, recognizing that the core foundation of our society is family, and in this time, how important it is. And then it really highlights the importance for patients who are struggling to do that on their own.
I do want to mention that Anderson Cooper had a baby this weekend, a couple of days ago. I guess baby's about 4 or 5 days old now.
Yeah, last Monday.
Congratulations. I love Anderson Cooper, but anyway, he's so nice. So he's had this baby by surrogate, which he's made public, and he's apparently close with the family and is grateful. And so surrogacy, that's an issue. That's an option that some people face who want to start a family.
You bet. In Canada, there's definitely a lack of people that are willing to be surrogates. And part of that is due to the lack of funding available, but also due to a lack of an actual system to allow for compensation. And that has to do with our laws in Canada. And the limitations over, it's not just surrogacy, it also pertains to being able to get eggs from a donor or sperm from a donor. As a consequence, there's a shortage of gametes in that way for those patients who actually need them to start their families. So it was nice to see Anderson Cooper, put out a very personal statement as to how grateful he was for his surrogate and what she went through in helping him have his family.
And so are you saying that surrogacy is not really a viable option here in Canada for people who want to start a family?
No, it absolutely is a viable option. It's just that you need to find someone who is willing to be your surrogate. It's fairly much either you find someone who's willing to do it altruistically for you, and you're able to, pay them for taxable or medical expenses like maternity clothing or access to health care or being off work, all of those things. But you cannot remunerate someone directly for being a surrogate, whereas in the U.S., you can. Now, there are processes in place in Canada, but very limited. And we do provide access and counseling within our clinics for patients who are looking at surrogates and certainly becoming more accessible. But it isn't as easy as perhaps it would be in the U.S.
And why is that? Why are the laws as set out as such?
I mean, the laws in Canada are really there to protect women to be coerced financially to do, you know, to partake in these practices. But at the same stage, it also results in, you know, a restraint or just having a shortage in people who thereby then are willing to do that. Because obviously, if you were going to be a surrogate, it puts some constraints on your ability to work the same way you normally would or carry on your life as you normally would. So it does require some kind of financial assistance in that regard. And the same goes for, you know, providing sperm to a family or a same-sex couple who need sperm to start their family. You know, there are processes through we have like a number of distributors in Ontario that we're able to access. But most of the donors really come from the U.S. because they're able to be paid through the U.S.
Right. So what are some of the other issues? So the fertility clinics have pretty much shut down for people who were perhaps in the midst of going through hormone treatments or insemination. Is this what has gone on? What are some of the issues with closing down these clinics?
So the response of clinics is really as a consequence of what was happening socially around us and with the pandemic. And our governing body had put out a statement stating that they felt no new treatment cycles should be started. And so within there, we did have patients who were in the middle of fertility treatment. And we did support them till the end of that treatment without resumption of new cases. Some clinics were unable to do that given the volume of patients at that time perhaps was greater. And every clinic had to look at the number of staff they had, how many people were ill from their staff. Were they able to continue supporting the patients at that time? So there were a number of factors, but at a core, what really was the impetus to put this out was, you know, being socially responsible and being ensuring the safety of staff and patients alike against acquiring COVID at the time where we were, you know, what looked like an upswing on the curve. At that time, looking back, it seems as if in BC, anyways, we acted appropriately in time to be ahead of that and were able to maintain a flatter curve. But that was not the case for everywhere in Canada.
And what's the outlook for fertility clinics opening up again? And how are they going to have to change their practices? I know we're going to have to change our practices in my clinic. There's 5 or 6 physicians plus myself in there and patients coming in all the time. And it's not going to be the same.
It's not like flipping a switch and going back to how life was before it by any means. And just being really aware moving forward, we're being fairly cautious in how we move forward. We have everything we need to be safe for both staff and our patients, but we've taken a lot of time to prepare for that. So ensuring that you have personal protective equipment and enough supplies, being able to schedule patients over the course of a day and have enough time so that they're socially distanced and we're still able to minimize face-to-face interactions. And where possible, we'll continue to do virtual telehealth appointments to minimize that face-to-face interaction. And all of this is, again, you know, to decrease the likelihood of a second wave and find ourselves back, you know, where we were a few weeks ago. We want to minimize the likelihood of that happening. So part of that is going to be resumption of services in a very controlled way and starting slowly at first, which is a little anxiety provoking for patients who feel already that they don't have enough time and that every week that goes by, they should be able to move forward. And we're really trying to facilitate everybody's need to move forward. And we're lucky in that we are able to some degree, control and schedule patients' treatment cycles.
Right. And so do you think you'll be opening up in the next month or two or getting back to business?
We are planning to be open in early May and we're in a limited capacity. Again, there's some unknowns about pregnancy and COVID. So we're not really sure because there just isn't a lot of available evidence out there for even from places like New York where pregnant women had infection. We're just not really sure of you know, what COVID does to a pregnant woman, either to her herself or her likelihood of being susceptible to COVID, or the risks to that growing pregnancy. It looks like maybe preterm delivery is a higher likelihood. But we really don't know as to the long-term consequences of being sick and pregnant at that time. So the cautiousness is right now that we're moving forward with this. We're going to facilitate patients to, you know, continue with treatment. And for until we know a little bit more, we're planning on freezing embryos, not actively trying to attain pregnancies. But if it looks as if the overall incidence of infection continues to be low, well, then with some counseling of patients, and if they feel that it's, you know, worth moving ahead, we may be facilitating pregnancies like with frozen embryo transfer, intrauterine insemination in the upcoming weeks.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And I wish you the best of luck. And I think other clinics and even workplaces can learn from, you know, your planning, your preparation, your PPE procurement. There's so much that everybody needs to do. And hopefully people are out there planning to get their businesses back up and running. Thank you so much, Dr. Neve Tallon, infertility specialist and co-director of Olive Fertility Center in British Columbia.